who were baptized with Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Galatians 3:27. I think I got it. Baptized. I got that. All right. Well, we are thrilled to see everybody here. Wow, what a great time. We'll baptize all the time. We'll get extra people here on Sunday morning this way. Thanks for joining us on our family day. We do this about four times a year. We try to do it once a quarter where we have the children come and join us. We try to be intentional. We say we're a multi-generational church, and we value that. So you've got grandmas and grandpas and little ones and several generations that all worship together. It gets messy sometimes because we don't get everybody's song sung when they want and all those things. But it's doing life together as a family of God. Whether you're married or single or whatever, we're the family of God. And it's extraordinary for us to be able to do this. So we thank you for that. And we felt that having a water baptismal service would be on Family Day would be a good way for the entire church family to learn more about the importance of water baptism and to share this experience together. And so we're delighted that all of you have come today. For Family Day, I'm especially glad that I've got some extra family here this morning because I've got some cousins, some of which I haven't seen in a really long time. They're seated here, one on the front row and a row here just behind. And I know Duck Dynasty has Uncle Cy. We've got Cousin John, who is often mistaken for him. But anyway, I'm glad to have my family here. This is John Cox and his daughter and son-in-law, and then my cousin Sharon up here. So anyway, Missy and Reuben and Clarice and Philip, they attend here, but she's my cousin too. And I got cousins on the other side, you know, but I'm glad to have some of my mom's family. I talked about them on Mother's Day, part of our history. Well, here's part of the bunch. So we're glad to have you all here from Indiana today. Well, what's baptism all about? I mean, it does seem like a lot of trouble. You know, we gotta fix a tank here and put a whole bunch of water in it, and you get all wet, and you have to change clothes and all that. So what's this all about? And you understand that baptism was not just a Christian thing, that it was used even, well, Judaism certainly used it, but even before that, other religions, it was a way of showing that conversion had taken place, that we'd made a new decision. And so Jesus came to John being baptized. John was baptizing out in the wilderness or whatever, and this was obviously before people came to know who the Christ was. So why is it important? Why do we do this? And the first reason is simply because Jesus told us to. Baptism is about obedience to Christ. That's what this is about. The first reason Jesus said to do it. He's our example in all things, and Jesus said we were to be baptized. He saw it as important enough that he came to John and asked to be baptized. It was really part of the incarnation. It was part of the way that Jesus came to completely identify with us. And so he became a man, flesh and blood. He's tempted in all the ways we're tempted, yet he never sinned. He was without sin. But in this way, he comes to identify with us in our brokenness. So Jesus went to John the Baptist and said, I need to be baptized. And John said, you're asking me to baptize you. I need to be baptized of you. And yet Jesus said, no, this is the way we fulfill what's right. This is what God requires because I've come to be God in the flesh, to identify with you. It's interesting to me that Jesus begins and ends his ministry, in a sense, numbered. Remember the Old Testament said he was numbered with the transgressors? He begins and ends his ministry identifying with broken, hurting, sinful folk like all of us. So when he begins the ministry, he's baptized with all the sinners who have come to John seeking repentance and forgiveness and a change in their life. And at the end, he's crucified between two thieves and buried in a borrowed tomb among those who have sinned and transgressed. So from the beginning to the end, he identified with the down and out and the hurting and the broken just like all of us. So we want to obey Jesus, and for him, baptism was important. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Jesus isn't telling us that baptism will save us or that we can't be saved if we aren't baptized in water. The thief on the cross that turned to him and said, remember me, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That shows us that you can be saved and go to heaven without having been baptized in water, but that was an exceptional case. But the fact is, Jesus expected that if we were His followers and believers, that we would be eager to obey Him and do what He taught us to do, and He expected then that we would be baptized. And notice that Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be whoever believes and is baptized. He lets us know that believing comes first before baptism. That it's about what we do in our heart. In response to the question in Acts, what must we do to be saved? Peter didn't say, when they said, Peter, what do we do to be saved? He didn't say, get yourself baptized. He said, repent. It was an act of will. You need to repent and believe upon Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Repent of your sins and then be baptized. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And so it's about believing. That's the first thing. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So we repent of our sins. We believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our salvation. And then water baptism, to be baptized in water, is an outward expression or a testimony of what's happened to us on the inside. So we understand, baptism doesn't save us. You're not baptized in order to be saved. You're baptized because you're saved. You're baptized because you put your faith in Christ. So baptism's not a step we take towards salvation. Baptism is a step we take toward discipleship and obedience and following the Lord and doing what He's taught us to do. One of the last things Jesus told His disciples was to go and make disciples of all nations, and He said to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It was part of His plan for all of us to become His disciples and carry this message to the world. And part of that message and part of that process of bringing people to Christ and discipling them would include this act of baptizing them, that they would understand what it meant that they'd become new creations in Christ. And publicly it would proclaim to everyone around them that they had had this conversion experience, that something had changed in their life. And we'll talk about that a little more in just a minute. So they expected that those who become followers of Christ would be baptized. That's what Jesus said. So if Jesus thought it was important, it must be important. You can dismiss it and say, well, it just doesn't make any sense to me to get all wet in church. Well, I don't know. It's just what Jesus said to do. And so we're going to obey Him in all things. That's what we want to do. So baptism is about obedience to Jesus. But there's more to it than that. Baptism is also about our identifying with Christ. As we said, at the beginning of His public ministry, He's baptized by Jesus in the Jordan River. And by doing so, He takes His place among the sinners that have come for salvation. They've come to repent. And so they place their faith in Him and they've come for repentance. But by identifying with Him in this process as a sinner being baptized, then we identify with Him as the one who is our Savior. We identify with Him that our sins have been forgiven. We've become new creations in Christ. I was thinking about Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River. Every time we go to Israel, we baptize people there. And if you go with us next year, into May, about this time, we'll go back to Israel. It's not only is it a wonderful experience, but it's actually a good time to have your feet exfoliated because there are fish that nibble at you while you're in the water there. I've checked this morning. There are no fish in the baptistry over here. Well, maybe just the one little. No, there's no fish in there. So it's a much better deal. But it does cause some people to do a little brief baptismal dance while they're in the water. Oh, hey! It's just fish. It's okay. But it keeps us moving. Well, anyway. So baptism is about our identifying with Christ. Jesus takes His place among sinners so that by faith in Him, we can take our place with Him as saved and whole and new creations in Christ. Specifically through baptism, we identify with Christ in His death and burial and resurrection. So, if I said to you, all right, I want you to, here's somebody that doesn't understand the language, but you're going to need to explain this to them. When I was in grad school at OSU, I did this thing about the concept of God with children. And so I went to these kids and said, just imagine that you didn't know the language, but you wanted to show someone what God looked like. You had to draw them a picture to do it. That's what I want you to do. I want you to draw a picture of me. Show me what God looks like. That was the only parameters I gave them. And then they drew pictures. And I got everything from Jesus you know, looking whatever with a robe and a thing to a little lamp and a sheep. One little girl said, well, he's the Lamb of God. She drew a sheep. That's pretty cool. You know, or a little lamp or a ball of fire. He dwells in unapproachable light, all kinds of colors. So I got all these ideas that the kids shared about this is what God looked like. Well, what if I said to you, I want you to explain to me what salvation looks like, but you don't have any words and you can't draw a picture. How would you do it? Well, this might be a pretty good way, and that is to show somebody getting in water and having all their sins washed away. It acts out something, so words aren't even necessary. Keep telling baptismal stories, but the last time we were in Israel, we were baptizing our group, and there were some folk from Mexico that were there, and they were there with the priest, but he was going to just pour water on their head, and they wanted to be immersed. So they came over, one girl came over to our group, she spoke English and said, would he baptize some of us? And I said, well, sure. And so there were, I don't remember, 7 or 8 of them maybe or whatever that came down. And so I'm trying to remember from high school Spanish how to say anything. You know, I was asking Jesus en corazón or what. I was just trying to get Jesus in your heart or something. My Spanish had failed me. I was finally doing Latin in nomine Patri et Filii. Anyway, I was doing the best I could to give them words, but they understood the whole process. They understood about the death and burial and resurrection. And we put them under and they came up rejoicing and shouting. Even if you don't have the words for it, we're showing what this means. We'll sing a song here in a little bit about I will rise. I will rise with Him. That's what this is about. It's showing us the death and burial and resurrection. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And water baptism is part of clearly, obediently acknowledging the new life we have as born-again followers of Christ. So think of it this way. Think of baptism as a spiritual drama. Think of it as like a five-act play that's going to symbolically portray to others your salvation and your identifying with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. So the first act is pretty simple. It's the washing away of your sins. If you were all muddy and dirty and you came in and said, boy, I need to be washed off. I need to be clean. One way we could do it would be to say, well, just hop in and the water is going to take away the dirt and off the filth of it. And so it's just that picture of washing away our sins. Paul tells about his salvation experience when he was blinded on the road to Damascus and so he goes on into town and Ananias comes to pray for him and the blindness goes away, and then Ananias says to him, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling upon His name. Now we know that water can't wash our sins away, but it symbolizes the fact that Jesus has washed our sins away by His grace and by our faith in Christ as our Savior and Lord. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 3. He said, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're saved by our faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, but baptism symbolizes that salvation, that our sins have been washed away, that we've got a clean conscience to stand before God, not because we've been so good, but knowing that Jesus has washed our sins away. And that symbolism is one of the reasons the early church insisted on flowing water. They baptized in rivers and places where the water was still moving because it indicated that their sins were being washed away. And so it was going to be carried downstream. And I guess we could say this is running water because there's a circulating pump in here that keeps the water warm. If you hear a little rumble this morning, that's the water moving in there. And so by the time everybody's baptized, if you grew up in a big family back in the day, Mom said, you kids get in there and get a bath. If you were the last one in, they weren't drawing water every time. You were taking a bath in what was left after the other 6 kids had already had their bath. My dad took his bath in a wash tub out on the back porch or whatever. So, but what I'm telling you is the water's circulating in here, so there's not going to be a ring around the baptistry for the last person that's baptized today, so don't worry about it. But the good news about that is that there's no way anybody can reclaim any of our sin that gets washed away in the tub, right? No DNA evidence left or anything else. It's all been washed away. That's His grace that forgives us and washes our sins away. So it's all been carried away through our faith in Christ. No ring of sin left behind. So that's act number one, is the washing our sins away. The second act is this symbolic death. So remember our scripture, in baptism we identify with Christ in His death. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, so I die. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul is telling us there's a brand new way to live. The old man dies and a new man lives, and it's Christ living in us and through us. And we symbolize that we've died to our old sinful nature. But in baptism, as we go under the water, we symbolize that we're dying to our sinful past. We're putting off the old man. Our memory verse this morning about we clothe ourselves with Christ. Well, as Sarah said, you don't put your clothes on over your pajamas. And so we get rid of the old man with the old sin and the old lust and the old desire. I mean, it's still there somewhere, but we're putting it off. It's not how we're going to live our life. And we put on Christ. And so we put on the new. So our verse again, we're therefore buried with Him through baptism into death. It's the death of the old man. And we're raised, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we can live a brand new life. So we put off the old and we put on the new, a brand new way to live. Paul goes on to say, for we know that our old self hath crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we're no longer slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So here's the deal. Dead people cannot be tempted. So you could bring me, what's that ice cream, caramel sundae stuff, right? Huh? Caramel cone sundae. Paula and I, that's our deal there. That's a weakness. So you could set that in front of me and say, I dare you to eat that entire carton. I can take that on. They were telling me about some little lady that ate two of those 72-ounce steaks down at the Big Texan or whatever. I'll pass on that maybe, but I can take care of a carton of ice cream, all right? But, and you can say, you know, Phil's always had that battle. He's always had that weakness. Bless his heart. But when I die, go ahead. If I'm laying up here, bring a carton of ice cream and a spoon. And nudge me a little bit and say, Phil, ice cream, and see if I'll get up. If I do, I wouldn't totally dead, all right? I was just mostly dead. But if you can't get me to eat ice cream, you don't even have to call the coroner. He's dead, all right? Paul says, we've been crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. So you can't tempt me with, here's the whole world, embrace this, because I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that choice, and now I'm going to live a brand new life. And so that's what he's talking about. He's talking about being buried with Christ in baptism. We walk down into the baptistry. We walk down into that water. And you know what? What we're going to do, we kind of get ready, right? They're going to ask you that question. You confess your sins and profess your faith. And so we close our eyes and they fold our hands like this. And somebody's going to hold our nose. But does that look like anything you've seen? Yeah, that's kind of what we do when people die. We fold their hands over there and their eyes are closed. And we lay them down. And so for that moment, it's a symbol then of our death. And that we've died to sin. You see, Jesus died for our sins so we could die to our sins. So we don't have to live that way anymore. We're not a slave to sin anymore. I'm not enslaved to that, what I used to be a slave to. Now I'm free to make choices. Now I can still make the wrong choices, but I'm not bound to do that because I can make redeemed choices because that old man died. The old Phil Taylor was buried and dead, and there's a new Phil Taylor that lives according to God's purpose and God's plan with His grace at work in my life. So, the second act is that the symbolic death. The third act, then, is this symbolic burial. Paul said we're buried with Him through baptism into death. The preacher, we fold our hands and hold our nose, and the preacher lays us back in the water and buries us under the water, just briefly, and then brings us back up. They used to say that about old timers said, well, they put him away nice, didn't they? Well, Paul said we're putting away the old man and we're putting on the new. So we get ourselves put away. The old man's put away as we're buried in the water of baptism and we rise to a new life. So the fourth act is the symbolic resurrection. The preacher raises us up out of the water and symbolizing that in Christ we're resurrected to a brand new life. Our sins have been washed away. The old man with that sinful nature is buried, and a new man or woman in Christ is alive. Again, Paul said anyone who's died has been freed from sin, and sin doesn't control our life anymore because Christ lives in us and lives through us. The old Phil Taylor's dead. The new Phil Taylor that lives, he lives in Christ and for Christ and with Christ, and Christ lives in us and in me. And that's the fifth act, and that is the new life. So it says we're resurrected, we're baptized into His death and resurrected to walk in a new life, a new way of living. And baptism is that dramatic representation of the spiritual change that's taken place in your life on the inside. Saved, and your sins washed away, and dead to the old desires, and a new life. See, here's what happens. When you repent and give your life to Christ, you're changed. You're a different person. Everything's affected. And the same thing, when you come up out of the water today, you that are being baptized, you're changed. And the most obvious change is you're all wet. All right? You're soaked. You don't look the same. Your hair's going to look different because it's going to be hanging down. Your clothes are different because they're all wet. I got on a blue shirt, and if I could, I thought once I could stick my arm down in there, but I'd probably fall in, and it just wouldn't be that funny this morning, so I'm not going to do it. But if I can tell you, if I stick this sleeve down in the water, it's going to be a deeper blue when I pull it out of there. Even the color's going to change. It's going to look different. A lot of the kids have got their hair down or in braids or whatever. I said first service, it's a little different years ago when you had bigger hair, and you baptize a 60-year-old lady with hair like that or whatever. She looks a little different when she comes up out of the water. She's going to need to go to the beauty shop pretty quick because what was there is down here and makeup's gone and all that kind of stuff. And so it's you're changed by it. And so you that are going to be baptized, there's a change on the outside. But more importantly, it just shows us that there's already been a change on the inside. You've been changed by God's forgiveness and His grace. And notice this, it's not just that you're all wet, but you are all wet. You're not just a little bit wet. You're not just wet in a couple of spots or a few places. It's not just your feet and hands that got wet. You are all wet. And baptism shows the totality of our surrender to Christ, that nothing is withheld, nothing is held back. Baptism portrays the fact that our salvation, our surrender to Christ, is all or nothing. So when Jeff baptizes folk this morning, you can't say, listen, I tell you what, this one hand, if you could just leave it out, it doesn't work that way, all right? You can't just say, I'm going to baptize my feet, so I promise God I'm not going to go bad, I won't walk bad places anymore, but I'd like to keep my hands out because there's somebody I'm wanting to punch. It doesn't work that way. It's an all or nothing deal. It's a run and plunge in. We're never going to get there if we're just sticking our toe in it and saying, well, I'm going to see if I can handle just giving a little bit to Jesus. It's all or nothing. That's what baptism is all about. I remember back in the 80s when girls had big bangs all hairsprayed up like this. Whatever. I remember baptizing some young girls or whatever, and boy, they were just like these massive bangs out here. Like use a can of hairspray to just hold it right there. And so I baptized in and brought her down, and I didn't quite get the bangs all the way in. And I brought her up, and there's still just like one side over there. And I don't remember that I did it, but I had this urge to go, let me just get that. I just need to flip a little water up there. I feel like they weren't quite totally sanctified. I may have to answer to God for that. Like anyway. But the point is, baptism shows it's all or nothing. You are all wet completely. And that new life can't be hidden. You can't sneak out of here. Somebody's going to notice. Water's dripping off of you. 3 minutes after you're baptized, you can't say, what? No, oh no, I wouldn't baptize this morning. Well then, it's not raining. Where did that come from? Baptism is a public profession of your faith. They used to go down to the river for a baptismal service, and everybody in town knew what was going on. Old Joe got religion, I know, because I saw him going to the river with him, and he came back all wet. There was a change that took place, and baptism is an outward and public profession and testimony of what Christ has done in your life. He saved you, He's washed your sins away, and now He's raised you up into a brand new life, and now you're going to live for Him and serve Him. Our memory verse this morning, the verse before it, you're all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus, For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You've put on Christ. It's like you put on the uniform of the kingdom, and everybody that sees you knows that guy, that woman, serves Jesus. You're clothed in Him, and everybody knows it. You're all wet, and you're all His. You're all wet, covered in or clothed in water in that sense. Where they're gonna immerse you in the water, and at that split second, you are immersed in water, surrounded by it, totally under the water, and immediately they bring you back up, and you have evidence that you have been underwater. And when you come to Christ and ask Him to forgive you, and you are placed in Him, buried and resurrected in new life in Him, you're not just all wet or clothed in water, but you're clothed in Christ. You're clothed in His mercy. You're clothed in His grace. You're clothed in His forgiveness. You're clothed in His love. You're clothed in His power. You're living a new way, a new life in Christ. That's what baptism signifies, and that's why it's important today. That's why we do this. So maybe you've come today to watch a grandkid or a friend or a neighbor be baptized, or maybe you just slipped in this morning, and maybe you've been kind of reluctant about really surrendering your heart and life to Jesus. It's kind of like you keep showing up on the water's edge and, like I said, kind of sticking your toes down in the water trying to decide if you can, I don't know if I can live this life. I don't know if I can be good enough or not. You know what? It's time to plunge in. You believe. It's just time to repent and ask Jesus. Just tell Him, Lord, come forgive me of my sins. I'm placing my trust, my whole life in Your hands. I'm running to You and just run and jump in. Forgive me and wash my sins away and change my life. Jump in and see what happens. I actually thought once about just running and jumping in there, and I decided that was a bad plan too, to show you what I was talking about. But it's about plunging into His love and His mercy and forgiveness and grace and to see what happens. And like the candidates today that are going to surrender themselves to the pastor that's going to baptize them, they're going to relax and allow the pastor to do the work. You just need to surrender to Jesus today to relax and lean back and let Him do the work. You see, the folks that are going to be baptized, they don't have to work to be covered in water, because the very act of baptism takes care of that. And you don't have to work to get saved. None of these folks are going to go, well, I want to make sure I get totally wet in this water. They're just going to lean back, and the water is going to take care of this. And folks, all you got to do is come to Jesus. Some of us have been trying so hard to, well, I'm going to work real hard and see if I can't be better, and maybe Jesus will love me. And it just doesn't work that way. You just need to say, Lord, I give myself to You, and lean back and let His grace and His love and His mercy do all the work. He does the cleaning. He'll change you from the inside out and every which way. He'll be all you need Him to be. Just trust in the Lord. And one last thought for you as the worship team comes back. Since baptism is a sign of our dying to sin and being resurrected to a new way of life, I always kind of think of baptism as being a grave marker of sorts. That somewhere I thought once, I ought to have a little tombstone in my backyard that says, "Here lies Phil Taylor, born this day, and he died this day to be born again this day, and to never die again, to live forever with our trust and our hope in the Lord." So I hope that this day marks a death and resurrection for somebody here today. It does for these who will be baptized. But if you're here this morning and you've never made Christ the Savior and Lord of your life, or you've been one that's kind of been on the edge but you haven't really been in fellowship with Him, it's all right to take the plunge today. It's all right to just say, "Lord, I'm going to trust You as surely as these are going to just lean back and be baptized. Lord, I'm going to lean back into You and trust You to save me and to change me." And if you're here and you make that decision, if you want to get baptized, just come let us know. We'll stick you in there. And you can go home wet, because that's what it's going to say to everybody. I came to Jesus today. We'll take care of it. I want to pray for you this morning. Lord, I thank You for all that have gathered here today.